Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
Wow, I hope that song just reminded you of how good God has been to you, to your family, to us as a church. If we've never met before, my name is Pastor Dom, and I get the privilege of leading just in this context, in this wonderful team. And this morning, I just want to remind you that we are so blessed to have like an incredible team that has adapted and adjusted in so many ways to help us this morning as we kind of are dealing with a bike race, like many of you know. And so we've asked you to commit to joining us and committing to learning with us even online. And we know that being online is a bit of a substitute from the real thing. And before we go into God's Word to learn and to continue in the series on the church, I just want to acknowledge something that we all feel, is that just watching online could be so distracting. And even if you're in a place where you're around people that you love, there's kids or coffee or something happens. And so we're just going to ask you to just pay attention to not being distracted. Because years ago, one of my mentors said that if you can just pause when you're learning from God's word, the church is never meant to be experienced that way, right? We know that. So let me pray for us before we learn together this morning. Jesus, thank you for the gift of technology and the good things that you want to do in our life as you call us to serve you more faithfully. Thank you that we're able to do that because you are the faithful one. That we depend on your spirit's strength and on your wisdom to know how to be Christians today in a very complex time. And so thank you so much for the things that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the way you're teaching us to build good relationships with our community. Help us to continue to learn how to do that in a way that honors you and respects those who don't believe what we believe. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you're in a home group, I want to say thank you again. Pastor Michael already mentioned it, just that you've made space to watch with others. And if you're maybe watching alone, let me just say, we just can't wait to maybe have you in person, which again, we'll be in person next week. But you know this if you've been tracking with us, that we took some time over the past few weeks to begin a teaching series called Why Church? It's actually a weird morning, but it actually feels like one of the best times to do a series on the church as we think about adapting as a church. And if you are part of the 180, you know that we've had some guests. I've kind of missed all of you, and I've missed kind of being here in person and hearing your voices and hearing our kids run around and things breaking, whatever, all that beautiful stuff about community. But I've really been blessed to invite you to meet some of my friends, other pastors, because this is a teaching series that we're doing with two other churches. And we wanted to do this so that we can feel that the church is different. Different demographics, different parts of the country, different kinds of teaching styles. And at the core, we've talked about some ways that the Bible talks about the church. And I know that we're living in a time where many people wonder about church. I know parents and families that are not sure how to explain the church to their kids. I know many people I grew up with who maybe went to church and just stopped attending church because church feels like optional. Like, I mean, if it's not beautiful outside or if you're not busy, you might attend church. And the more you study the Bible, actually, the more you realize that church is something much more beautiful, complex, and essential to what it means to following Jesus. So what we wanted to do is to go back to some important themes to get you thinking about your own experience of church. Maybe your own life, whether that's good or bad. Like, I thought about this as I was preparing. One of my earliest experiences of church was that I was an altar boy in a Catholic church in the Saint-Michel area in Montreal. Some of you know where that is. And when I was really, really young, I remember being an altar boy because every time I went to church, my grandfather gave me some money. It probably was around a quarter at the time or 10 cents, and I thought I was rich. So my first experience of church is I went to church because I loved money, not because I loved Jesus. Maybe you know people like that. Maybe you know people who think about church. They go to church to get something out of church, but not because they understand what church really is. In my family, I guess there was more Judas in us than Jesus, so Jesus is still working that out. But I had to think about, like, what are some of those experiences that taught me about church, whether good or bad? Maybe for some of you, you have, like, really complicated stories about church. Maybe you know someone that wouldn't even watch a video about church because their experience of being around church reminds them of Christians who are not living the way Jesus called us to live. This is such an important series, and I feel like it could go on for months as we dive into what the Bible teaches about church. But let me just position us in a special way in Quebec. We planted this church a few years ago because we knew how important it would be to give people in Quebec who've been hurt by church or confused about church a different picture of church. Here's just a quote that you'll see just on the screen. It says, since 2003 in Quebec, 713 churches have been destroyed, closed, or converted. That's just in this province. I mean, if you're a Christian and you love Jesus and you're learning the Bible, a quote like this should grieve you. But I know people who don't even care. I know people who are like, oh, whatever, you know, we don't really need church. And, you know, some of those buildings maybe were old. We don't really need that. And that. So we hope that a series like this makes you feel more connected to why church really matters and why Jesus is connecting us to a people, to those who are learning to follow Jesus together. And that's kind of the earliest understanding of the church. When we were working on this teaching series with the other pastor friends of mine, you know, we thought about a clever title for the series. It's called Why Church? But learning to understand the tension between the mess and the mystery of church was important. Many of us know this, like our lives are usually caught in the tension of like messy things that happen. Maybe some of you feel that right now. You're really good at smiling and pretending everything is fine, but inside you feel like things are a mess. You feel like you need clarity from God. You've been praying about a difficult situation. Things can be messy. And then there's this mystery part of church, this mysterious thing about what it means that we can experience God's love and God's goodness, but not always know how to explain that. Our lives are kind of formed between the tension of the messiness of life and the mysteries of life. And maybe you're feeling that right now. You're feeling caught in that. And actually, as we were talking about the topics for the series, some of the leaders, the guys, they mentioned, hey, let's talk about the church as family, and we talked about that, or how the church transforms us. And when we got to the topic of mystery, they kind of tricked me. They said, Dom, you know what? You should talk about the church as mystery. And I'm like, how did I get like one of the hardest topics to talk about? Like, I don't want to do the church as mystery. Like, this is so hard to talk about. And they said, you should do that. It's going to be really, really great. And so just to give you an example how hard it's going to be to talk about this idea of the church's mystery, I want to ask you a very simple question. How many of you have ever driven by a church in your life, and as you drove by that church and you noticed people who were like maybe there, cars in the parking lot, you drove by and you said, what's going on there? That's a mystery. How many of you have done that? Almost every place I've shared this, you know, nobody puts their hand up. If you put your hand up, you're probably lying. Nobody thinks about the church as this incredible mystery of God's presence and goodness among his people. That's why it's actually so hard to talk about the church. And actually, the idea of the church as mystery is not a word we would have maybe even picked to talk about the church. I wouldn't have thought about that. It's actually a word that the Bible uses for the church. And so this morning, if you have your Bible, maybe you have a notepad you want to learn with us, we encourage you to do that. I want to read a passage from the book of Ephesians, and in a second I'll read it. And as I read it, I want you to look and see if you notice two images that are given to us to point to this idea that the church is kind of a mystery, a deep mystery. And you'll see it on the screen, so let me read it for us. And this is what it says. After all, Paul is writing to a church. No one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ Jesus does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Now you take a minute and think about that, just hearing that passage. That Paul wants to talk about this mystery of the church, and he does so by pointing to two images that we kind of connect with maybe in an easier way. He says, when you think about this mystery, it's kind of like a person who cares about their body and wants to feed their body and wants to nourish their bodies, wants their bodies to grow in a healthy way. Well, there's something about the mystery of God's people together that in this gathering of his people, Jesus is nourishing and nurturing, giving strength to us as the church. Like, that's a profound image, right? Of eating and feeling stronger because you're growing. And as you're growing, you're kind of being able to serve and care for others. Now, when I was really, really young and I thought about Jesus, I just thought of like maybe sprinkling. God sprinkles us with special power to make us stronger. But actually, that's not what happens. The nurturing that happens in this body or in this family is that Jesus uses each of us to encourage one another. You know, just a few months ago, I remember going through kind of a difficult time. I was thinking about a lot of pressures or things happening in my life and in the church. And I remember even during one of our gatherings, I was struggling with singing. You know, there was a song on the screen, and I didn't really want to sing. I was preparing myself to preach. And I still remember how encouraging it was that so many other people, many of you were singing. Your singing encouraged me in that moment. Hearing your voices reminded me that God is doing something special, even though I didn't feel it and was struggling in that moment. There's this profound mystery about how God nourishes and strengthens us as we gather together. And we feel the breakdown of that when we can't be together like today. When my kids were really, really young, I remember we would kind of encourage them to think about getting stronger by asking them to eat all their vegetables because they didn't want to eat that, or maybe you have stories of that in your own family. This idea, we told them that if you eat like healthy vegetables, your muscles are going to get really, really strong. And they would kind of like, really, Dad? Like, that's amazing. And so they would eat. And when my kids were really, really young, they would eat their vegetables right away. And then they would say, Dad, check my muscles. Like, they'd want us to see if their muscles are growing. And as parents, we'd be like, wow, you know, good job. You ate your muscles. And you ate your food and your muscles are growing. And at one point, I remember explaining to them that eating food and growing muscles doesn't happen that quickly. Like, it takes time. Even though for them, they wanted it to happen quick. Actually, as God stretches us and grows us and we're nurtured and nourished by his strength in this mysterious kind of way as the church, that sometimes takes time. And if we're impatient with one another, we can think of people we know at church that are not growing fast enough, people in your family that you're like, they should be act more like Christians faster, and that's not happening, so you could judge them or be impatient. This great image of God feeding us and helping us grow as we rub shoulders with one another. But the other image is this image of a marriage. It almost seems like it comes out of nowhere. Like, there's this great mystery of the church, and by the way, Paul says, it's like a man and a woman who get married. And it's like the mystery of that is like the church. One of the things maybe we're meant to understand from this passage is that when God draws us into this family we call the church, something new begins to happen. That's what actually happens in a marriage. Two people who are separate people become one, and something new begins to happen that was never there before, their marriage and their family. That in the mystery of the church, God is not only helping us grow, but he's birthing new things out of our lives. New things for the sake of the world, new things for our community that is so disconnected from church. Now, let me just tell you something really important, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. That when we don't learn to understand what the church is based on the Bible, when we don't learn to embrace that the church is really this mysterious thing that God is drawing his people together to worship him, we start to speak about the church the way the world speaks about the church. One of the most common patterns that I hear in people who are not really growing in their understanding of why the church matters is they start to think about the church like just any other charity out there. Like the church somehow is like the YMCA or like an organization that helps the poor. And by the way, Christians who are part of a church can do those things, but the church is not just a charity. The church is not just an organization that helps our city. Although we help and love our city, we're so much more than that. And what we are is a profound mystery of Jesus at work in our midst. Over the years, I've had to catch myself when I say certain things, and I'm like, if I keep saying that, I might actually distort what the Bible says about who I am, about the church. I'll give you an example. Have you ever heard anyone say, God is everywhere? Anyone ever say that? Maybe you were sitting with somebody, you asked them, have you ever said that? Like, I know people in our church who've said that to me. You know, God is everywhere. And just think about this idea. If God is everywhere, why would we ever come to church? Like, if God is everywhere, why are you wasting your time in a home group or connecting with others? If God is just everywhere, why did Jesus even show up? If God is everywhere, why did we need Pentecost and the Holy Spirit to come and fill God's people? Now, I don't want you to freak out. Like, we believe that God hears our prayers from everywhere. But it's essential to understand the mystery of the church that although God is everywhere, he always calls his people somewhere. He always calls us people to be present in a context where he speaks to them, and that becomes a marker and a special reminder of his presence. I want to show you somebody in the Bible who had to learn that, and maybe you're still struggling with that. Because it's easy to be like, you know what, I don't really have to be inconvenienced with church or sacrifice for other people. Because kind of, I believe God is just everywhere. Like when I'm in my car or when I'm just praying by myself. And he is with us. But if the God of the Bible is with you, he's inviting you to be part of his church with those that he loves somewhere. And this should remind us of this great mystery that the Bible teaches us about. There's this person in the Bible, his name is Moses. He lived a long time ago, and one day God calls him and begins to help him understand that he's doing something so powerful and mysterious because he's heard the prayers of his people from everywhere. The people in the time of Moses are slaves, and they're feeling the oppression, the injustice, just a regime. The Egyptian kingdom is just ravaging God's people, and they're praying, and God hears their prayers. But then he stirs in Moses this calling that he should go and help be part of setting his people free. The famous passage I'll read for you is found in the book of Exodus, and it's this moment where Moses is shocked. It says this, Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, this burning bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? I would do the same thing. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called from within the bush, Moses. Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. There's this profound moment in this story in the Old Testament where Moses is about to learn, one, that God is calling him somewhere, but that God is about to use a man who is almost 80 years old, whose life is all behind him, who's kind of left Egypt and wants nothing to do with his old life, to go back and set his people free. You know why? Because when God does something beautiful, he always calls a people to himself. When God begins to do something new that he could do just in his own strength, he decides that a great mystery will happen, that he's going to embody the life of his people and begin to transform the world through his people. And Moses is going to have to be part of that journey. And Moses is going to set the people free so that as they leave Egypt, they become a people of God who God begins to be present with them in a very special way. Now, it would be great if Moses just said, God, like, you're kind of everywhere. Like, you go do it. Or let's be honest. Like, if I was Moses, and if you know the story, you know this, Moses makes all kinds of excuses. I'd be like, if you're a God that has angels at your disposal, like, if I had angels at my disposal, I wouldn't use people for anything. Like, have you met some of people who go to church? Like, you're like, don't pick me, God. Like, I'm not as good. Like, send an angel to do that. But God says, that's not the mystery of how this is going to work. The mystery is that I'm going to be present with my people as they worship me. Now, God is with us even when we're by ourselves, but there's something unique about God calling us to be present with others. And in the New Testament, we call that being present as the church. All along the Bible, when you read through it all, as God calls people to say yes to him, to understand him more, to experience his forgiveness and his grace, they're united with other people. I'm going to give you like this image in your mind that we never actually just come to church. We are summoned by God to gather together as the church. That when we get up and get ready, we know that it's Jesus saying, it's time for you to encourage others and to worship me with others so that we would never think that this story is just about us. Maybe that's still hard for you to understand. But that's kind of part of the mystery of the church. And if we're not careful, we disconnect from this idea and we disconnect from this mystery and we miss out on all the beautiful things that God wants to do and has decided to do with his people, among his people, through his people. Maybe you've been hurt by church and we know that. It can be very, very scary to kind of reconnect or even try to kind of belong in a church. And actually, technology like this can maybe even make it harder because you can just watch somebody talking and never have to connect or serve or pray or laugh or sing together. So we hope you would kind of feel the weight that the Bible calls us to a deeper place. The Bible calls us to this place where we're embracing this deeper mystery of God at work in us as we love one another. You know, a few months ago, somebody in our church was very, very sick, and we followed up with them and emails and some visits. And I remember just in one interaction with this person, saying to them, you know, we missed them at church. And they said to me, you know, while I couldn't be present with the church came to me. And I thought, like, how beautiful that we can learn to be that, to care for others, to step into the lives of others who are hurting or feel alone, not by ourselves, but as part of a larger family. Now, there's a person in the Bible, as I wrap up, that I want to tell you about, who cannot wrap his head around this idea of mystery. He cannot wrap his head around somehow God doing something powerful through people who are gathering as the church. This person has decided that one of his missions in life is going to be to destroy the church. It's like a shocking thing. And actually, if you don't have a Bible, that's actually in the Bible. Like someone who thinks about that these people, like, how do they love each other this much? And what are they doing as they gather together? And some of them actually went to from gathering on Saturdays as part of the Jewish Sabbath to even soon gathering on Sundays as the day that reminded them of the resurrection of Jesus, which is what we do. This sacred day that was often called like the day of the Lord, remembering that even death could not silence the mystery of what God wants to do in among his people and for the sake of the world. And one day this leader, his name is Saul, and also called Paul in the Bible, he comes up with a great plan. He's like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start destroying and shutting down churches. And he knows that Christians are gathering in homes. And this is what the Bible tells us happens as Paul begins to do this. That on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. I mean, it's so hard for us to understand that. I mean, even just the inconvenience of a bike race feels like annoying. It'll be like, I'm not even going back to church. I can think about people in this moment in their home. Maybe you're watching in a home with a friend, of hearing that somebody might come and shut it down and take you and bring you to prison. You know, I'd be tempted, like you'd be tempted maybe to just say, you know what, God is just everywhere. Like, don't worry, like we shouldn't do this anymore. But they don't do that. They continue to gather because it was a sacred mystery that Jesus was present with them as they gathered together. The home didn't make them the church. The building doesn't make us the church. But commitment to gathering together was that the church was transforming the community. And Saul decides that he's going to begin to visit these homes and shut them down and put people in prison. And you can read the story in Acts chapter 8 and keep reading the story of Paul. And one day as he's making his way to some of these churches, maybe Christians are praying, maybe they're afraid, maybe some of them are worried about their kids and the future of their lives. This happens. This profound moment of transformation changes everything. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Just like let that sink in for a minute. That in this moment, you read the story, Saul, this like killing, angry machine set on destroying the church, hears a voice of the resurrected Jesus speaking to him. The Jesus who's alive, who is present in the gathering of his people as the church. And Jesus doesn't say, why are you persecuting my people? Jesus doesn't say, why are you persecuting the church? Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? For the first time, Paul is going to understand something that we are trying to teach you and understand together. The mystery of that if you persecute the church, Jesus says it's like you're persecuting him. This is like so beyond our understanding. Like, what do you mean? This is like crazy that Jesus associates himself with the people who gather to worship him as Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we're not called to critique or correct or address really painful issues in the church. I'm not saying any of that. We're always doing that. But there is a sense that there's a mystery that we always come back to, that when we gather together as the church, Jesus is present with us in a way like he is nowhere else in the world. This is the great mystery of the church. This great mystery that not only transforms Paul, Paul in the Bible will go from being a persecutor of the church to the greatest church planter of the early church. He's going to decide that if this is true, if Jesus is really alive and he is present when his people gather together to worship, I will commit my life to helping people say yes to Jesus and to learn to grow together. And you know what? If you have a Bible, most of the New Testament is Paul writing letters to churches. The fact that we have Bibles the way we do is Paul writing to churches, people gathering together to learn together. I think about how beautiful this is, but there's only one word that I keep coming back to when I think about it, and that's the word that this is a mystery. There's a mystery of what's happening. My prayer for the 180 and for our community is that we would believe that the church is such an incredible mystery that not only we would never forget that, but we would be the kind of mystery that our world cannot ignore. We would be kind of the kind of mystery that people in our world can never take their mind off the fact that God is doing something so beautiful when we gather to sacrifice, to love, to worship, and to give back to one another. Maybe that's the next step for you. Maybe the next step for you is to just take one more step to grow in that idea, to belong and not just attend, to serve and not just to be a spectator. All of this is connected to the idea of the church as this incredible mystery. Paul tells this last thing to this church. I'm going to wrap up with this in a second. He says this, that the mystery of this gathering does something that nobody expected. He says this to the church in Ephesians again. In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insights into the mystery of Christ. His mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, those who are not Jews, are heirs together with Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. It's easy maybe to read this and to miss the deep meaning or the image for this, that Paul says one of the mysteries that I started to see is that in this gathering of God's people together, Jesus was drawing people together that you would never see together. Jesus was drawing people together that the whole world connected to people who would always be apart. That not only the Jews were there, but those who were not Jews were there. Not only were the rich there, but the poor were there. Not only were slaves there, but those who were masters and were learning to love those who were slaves. And all this kind of transformation was being disrupted because Jesus was doing something mysterious in the people of God called the church. We're going to need to be that kind of church. We're going to need to be the kind of community that changes everybody in our culture's paradigm of what it means that what happens in our midst is a deep mystery. A mystery that the world cannot ignore because they see how much we love one another the way Jesus has loved us. I want to just tell you this last story that I always think about when I think about like two things that you'd never connect together. And it has to do with a few years ago an experience I had in Ethiopia. A few years ago, some of you know this if you're part of the 180, I had a chance to go and teach and connect with the churches and leaders in Ethiopia. And one of the things that I had a chance to do as part of the teaching time is to actually visit and be present in a church, a fairly large church actually. And around this church was like just poor villages and communities, and people just walked with very little that they had, some people without even shoes. They gathered together to be together in this church, to hear from God, to sing. And I felt just the weight of poverty and suffering. And they were so joyful and excited. Like, I wanted them to be sad the way I was sad. But there was no match for the joy that Jesus had given them. All of their poverty and their suffering was no match for their singing and their dancing. I thought of so many of you. I wish you could be there. And while I was in the service, because I couldn't understand much of what they were saying, they actually had a guide who was with me and sitting with me translating some of the service. You know, at different times he would pause and explain what the song meant. Or he would pause and explain where we were reading from the Bible in English, like broken English. And at one point he said to me, you know, I don't know how to say what they're talking about, but this song is about Jesus our Lord. He said that to me. He said, the song we're singing now is about Jesus our Lord. I'll never forget what happened to me. Like, I just started crying. And I remember thinking that I am on the other side of the world in a language I don't understand with people I have just met. And because of the mystery of the church, this brother has said, Jesus our Lord, and I feel I'm part of the same family as him. The Bible calls that the mystery of the church. That Jesus does something that whether you have a different culture, a different language, different scars, different stories, that when Jesus begins to heal us, he restores something deep in us and draws us to grow with others he calls his church. My prayer for all of you, if you're part of the 180, would you commit in a more deeper way, even as we step into the summer, to gather and to embrace driving by a church building and saying, that's a mystery what God is doing right there. It's a mystery what God does in this warehouse. And it's something none of us can control because it belongs to Jesus. And maybe for you, you're watching online and you just need to be encouraged to take just the next step to maybe visit us in person, or maybe you're far away, maybe visit a local church in your community, begin to serve and understand what it means to belong there. We would love to help you in any way. You can email us at info@the180.ca if we can help in that way. But before we wrap up, let me just pray for us this morning. Father, thank you for inviting us into this mystery that although you're a God who hears our prayers from everywhere, you always call us somewhere. And you remind us that your presence is very unique as your people gather to worship you. We don't have the right words to explain this, but we thank you that the Bible gives us the word mystery, the mystery of your love, the mystery of how you nurture and help us grow, the mystery of the new things that are bubbling up that we even experience here at the 180. I pray for people who need to experience some of that today. I pray for those who still feel the deep wounds and scars of bad and horrible, even abusive experiences connected to church. I pray today you would help us to commit to be a community of people that grow and mature so that we would be the kind of mysterious community that this world, our city, could not ignore. And that you would teach us what it means to continue to trust you and to continue to be patient with others. And we thank you, Jesus, for the good things that you are doing here. We pray that everything that happens would honor you because you are the head of your church. We pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, everyone, thanks for tuning in, whether you're watching alone, watching later, watching live. Thank you just for the gift of technology. If you're a ministry partner, we want to remind you that we do have a ministry partner meeting coming up soon, and we look forward to seeing you. I miss seeing all of you. Can't wait to see you all in person next week at 9 or at 11. No excuses. We love you all. God bless. See you later.